From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 22nd day of June 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. The folks at the Andersons will join us to take a look at the agricultural cash grain situation. We'll discuss the weather forecast with Mark Russo at Risk Pulse in Chicago, and Illinois Extension agricultural economist Todd Hubbs will be here to discuss next week's quarterly grain stocks report and his indications about what it will show. And that'll all happen right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, July corn today down 4 1/4. It settled at 3.28 1/4. December at 3.41 3/4. 3.5 lower. And the March at 3.53 1/2, down 3 1/4 for the day. The May contract at 3.60 1/4 for the corn, 2 3/4 lower. July soybeans 0.25 cent lower at 8.76 1/4. November at 8.79 1/4, down 1.5 cents. And January futures down 1.5 at 8.82 3/4. July soybeans 8.77 3/4 for next year, 0.75 cents lower. The bean oil futures down 17 cents at 28.35. Bean meal at 286.50, down 50 cents. Wheat futures July soft red up 3 3/4. Settlement price there at $4.85. The hard red July at 4.31 1/4, up 3. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the June down 30 cents at 94.40, and the August at 95.12 1/2, 27 1/2 cents lower. The feeders were off 80 at 131.75, and the August contract and lean hogs for the day settled at 46.82 1/2. That's down $1.62 1/2. Crude oil futures about 85 cents higher at around $40.59 a barrel. Ethanol futures around 2 cents higher. Heating oil or diesel fuel up 0.5 cent. And gasoline up about 1 1/4 cents at $2.28 6/10 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average around 290 points higher. The U.S. dollar at 97 even is down 0.577 for the day. And here to explain it all to us and what happened in Chicago particularly is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Thanks for being with us.
Well, you're welcome, Ty. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, let's start last Friday before we get into today's down market with the cattle on feed numbers. I didn't get a chance to go through those numbers as they were released that afternoon. What did they show and how did the market react?
It was a little bit negative reaction. Some were calling sharply lower, but the market actually held in there. The placements was 98.7%. The average trade estimate was about 96. You know, the placement's just a little light in through there. The marketing's is maybe the key to watch, 72.5%. They're looking for about 74%, so the marketing's need to get caught up here. But the cattle on feed, 99.5, and that was within trade expectations. We still have cattle to work through, but for the most part, as we move through the summer in through here and watch kind of this export market, those are going to be the two features here as we get these plants back online and putting meat out in the consumer's plate there.
On that note, the export market for corn, we'll get kind of a tally on that and other things too when we get to the grain stocks report next week. What are your expectations there, and how does that all play into what happened in Chicago, if it does at all, for the day?
Well, the grain stocks next week, that's going to be huge. One, because that's going to give us a benchmark to go by. This morning's export inspections report was at the upper end of the trade expectations, even though we're behind somewhat there. That's constructive to continue to ship out some corn and satisfy that demand. The other thing that on the demand side, they talked maybe a little bigger, larger Brazilian crop, upwards towards maybe 108 million metric tons. But we'll see how that unfolds. Brazil's going to continue to be a competitor. Probably export market might be in question, but domestic consumption. You know, cattle and feed report, we've got ample numbers, hogs, poultry. But two, ADM reported at their Clinton, Iowa plant is significantly increasing production of industrial alcohol to meet this huge, huge demand for hand sanitizer. If you look at ethanol futures have you know, had a pretty good gain here off those April lows. So is it extremely bullish? No, but I think it kind of takes the bearish edge off things. This afternoon's crop conditions reports expected to show 70% good to excellent for corn versus 71% last week. Bean conditions 71% versus 72% good to excellent. And that's a slight decrease, mainly here in the east, mainly Indiana maybe. If you look at that drought monitor, it looked like somebody took a yellow crayon and colored in the state of Indiana. And this conditions report's basically taking place ahead of this week's rain event. This week's rain event's going to be fairly well welcomed. Here locally, I dumped out about 2/10, but you didn't have to go very far away, and you could dump out anywhere from 1.5 to 2 inches of rain. So continues to be hit and miss, but we're in the prime window in here where weather's going to be a dominant factor here, and the weather guy is going to have the main front and center. The other thing, too, that kind of happened over the weekend here was Trump's rally, and you can take it either way you want. But the main thing is there's still that sentiment out there that they're going to do whatever they can to have Trump not have the following he has. And the thing he keeps mentioning, and he's been very beneficial to the American farmer. And the concern is that if the anti-Trump movement continues to kind of see the ag community as a supporter of Trump, it could be, you know, a little bit of a concern. They're not going to come out to a farm and riot or anything by all means, but there's some influential people in some places that could possibly have an effect that election rally might not be as price positive as the election rallies we've seen in the past.
Today's lack of support in the corn, was that from just future weather and rainfall this week?
I believe so. You know, the optimism was there going home on Friday that if we stay dry, we can continue to see some deterioration. We really don't have a big weather premium in the marketplace. And the commodity funds are just huge, huge shorts in the corn complex. But kind of failure to get a weather rally going in here kind of took the air out of those sales. I don't think we're going to sell off sharply right at the moment. But the trade's kind of wanting to see some weather premium put back into the marketplace.
What do you see in this afternoon's weekly crop conditions report?
It's going to be kind of a state breakdown. The Eastern Belt is definitely probably going to show a little bit of deterioration, where the Western Belt continues to look fairly good shape. Nebraska, they've had some pretty strong winds and some dry conditions. The pumps have been running fairly aggressive. They saw some deterioration last week, so we'll see if they see some slight improvement. But expectations are just a little drawdown improvement. Next week's crop conditions report will be a little bit more critical to see if this crop perks up on this rain event we have in the forecast here, not only the next few days, but going into next week also.
Are there better fundamentals for the soybean market, do you think?
When you look at the big picture, you know, the supply-demand balance sheet is tighter than what the corn supply-demand balance sheet is. Also, too, we're entering the time window in through here where we've got China coming forward in through here and booking beans for this fall and this winter. They're kind of slow on that. And then if they're going to fulfill that phase one trade agreement, and, you know, that's what we need to get this demand base going, and beans would be at the top of their list. There's probably going to be some corn demand underneath the marketplace and even some ethanol demand underneath the marketplace. The other concern, too, was that China is talking about halting importing of the chickens and maybe some pork due to this virus talk. And there's even talk that China may be asking exporters to sign waivers that guarantee grain and meat imports are virus free. So China's going to continue to dominate the news, whether it's actually importing or trying to avoid some imports due to this virus. If China goes forward with this, I believe the U.S. needs to turn around and say we need to have China guarantee that their products we ship into the U.S. is also virus-free.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, we'll concentrate on ethanol. A new report from Cobank's Knowledge Exchange says the ethanol industry may have to diversify itself in the future. The report says the excess production capacity and reduced demand will force the U.S. ethanol industry to transform its business model to create more value and improve its operational efficiency. Cobank predicts that consolidation within the industry will lead to larger and more financially stable companies with diversified ethanol co-product offerings by 2025. While ethanol remains an attractive business with long-term potential, the industry will need to evolve and diversify beyond fuel ethanol, says Kenneth Zuckerberg, Cobank lead grain and farm supply economist. That diversity will need to include higher margin co-products like high protein distillers grains for animal feed, liquid carbon dioxide for refrigeration, beverage grade alcohol, and other industrial products, all of which, by the way, are currently being made by most ethanol production facilities. COVID-19 led to businesses shutting down and people staying at home, causing significant ethanol demand destruction. The industry had 1 billion gallons of excess capacity at the start of 2020, with that number projected to rise to 3.9 billion at the end of this year before it settles to 2.4 billion. At the end of 2021, strong export growth would reduce the excess, but current projections do not support such an outcome. And this note, the Environmental Protection Agency released an updated list of small refinery exemptions that shows smaller refineries have filed 52, quote, gap year SRE petitions. Those petitions cover renewable fuel standard compliance from 2011 through 2018. Biomass Magazine says the filing is to circumvent a recent ruling from the 10th Circuit Court that struck down three SREs approved by the EPA. The ruling also determined that the agency cannot extend exemptions to any small refinery whose earlier temporary exemptions had lapsed. A challenge to the court's decision was rejected in early April. If the ruling is eventually applied nationally, it will limit eligibility for future SRE petitions to a handful of the nation's small refiners. And that's a quick look at today's Ag News. You know, next week, USDA will release the quarterly grain stocks report for corn, and those numbers haven't been updated since March. They will reflect consumption patterns during the coronavirus pandemic. Now, that third quarter grain stocks number is important because it gives the trade an actual tally of how much corn is left from the total available supply in the United States. Early this month, USDA projected about 5.7 billion bushels of corn would be used this marketing year in the feed and residual category. This is the one that has the most scrunch room in it. University of Illinois Extension agricultural economist Todd Hubb says if the June stocks report shows 4.89 billion bushels left in the bin, then things will be on track.
Yes, it'll be on track, and you may actually see feed and residual move up a little bit if it's in that sort of range. We typically see a fourth quarter feed and residual use higher than what that would imply for third quarter and the first three quarters of feed and residual use. So it's on track with the possibility of USDA raising feed and residual numbers.
Well, the feed and residual number, of course, isn't the only consumption category for corn. Ethanol took a big hit during the first 2 months of the pandemic shutdown as people stayed home and cars sat idle. The ethanol grind was down 26.7% in March and April. It was off in May, too, says Hubbs.
I assume that we see the kind of convergence rate we saw the last couple months under the lockdown. I have a May number around 308 million bushels, which puts us at a total use for the quarter of around 969 million bushels, which is way down from what we would normally do in the third quarter of a marketing year.
The third primary consumption category is the export of corn. Now, Hubs expects it to be about 1.2 billion bushels in total for the first 9 months of the marketing year. When you add it all up, the exports and the domestic usage, third quarter consumption looks to be right at 3 billion bushels. Hub says that number would put June 1 stocks at that 4.89 billion bushels we've already talked about, And that figure is less than what was on hand last year at this time.
We would have slightly lower and about 300 million bushels lower, but we have to remember we had a much smaller crop in 2019 than we did the year previous. So we'll have fewer bushels in the bin, but we won't be using as many bushels as we did in the last marketing year.
USDA will update the grain stocks report next Tuesday, June the 30th at 11 a.m. Central. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. You can do that right there at willag.org. Just click and play the ag programming up on the website. Or you can look us up in your favorite podcast applications, including Stitcher, SoundCloud, NPR One, Spotify, Apple Podcast, and Google Podcast, too. Now let's turn our attention to the weather forecast. Mark Russo is here from Risk Pulse in Chicago. Hey, good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with the rest of this week, and then we'll get into next week and maybe look a little further out, too, please.
Well, Todd, as we look out through this week, we are seeing an upper-level trough, which is deepening across the central U.S., and that's allowing for at least more opportunities for rain. In fact, today we're seeing one frontal system move across the Midwest and help to increase shower and thunderstorm activity. That's going to be followed up by another system coming up later on this week and over the upcoming weekend, which also looks to feature a bit more widespread rain. Kind of putting everything together, we feel that this week, a little over half of the Corn Belt will receive over 1 inch of rainfall.
And what do you see for next week?
Well, next week, it does look like ridging of high pressure will begin to build back into the Midwest. In fact, for much of the northern portions of the central and eastern U.S., we see ridging of high pressure, which will begin to warm up temperatures again to above normal levels. And that will also begin to decrease rain prospects here across the core of the Midwest. Now, the one area next week where rainfall opportunities do look a little bit better, that's portions of the Northwest Belt in areas such as the Dakotas, even extending westward to some of the spring wheat areas across the northern plains. That area looks to be more on the kind of northwest periphery of the ridge of high pressure, and that at least places them in a zone of more opportunities for some thunderstorm development. But for the core of the Midwest, it looks like next week's a dry and a warmer than normal week.
Are there particular things in the weather systems that you've been watching that give you cues for weather later in the summer?
Yeah, Todd. One thing that we've been watching over the past 4 to 6 weeks has been significant cooling of water temperatures across the equatorial Pacific. And for all practical purposes, we're in a La Nina event here across the equatorial Pacific. Water temperature anomalies are near half a degree Celsius cooler than normal, and also seeing an abundance of a subsurface cooler than normal water temperatures. And it looks like the global atmospheric base state is beginning to trend towards a La Nina. And with that, in general, La Ninas tend to produce a general warmer and drier bias across the Midwest ag belt, or mid-latitude ag belts across the northern hemisphere. So as we go through kind of the core summer months here, certainly that risk of drier and warmer conditions due to this developing La Nina base state is in place.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. Joined us on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon to discuss the weather forecast. Greg Johnson is here, too. He's with the Andersons from Champaign County to take a look at what's happening in the market situation. Hey, good afternoon to you. Thanks for being with us, Greg.
Oh, you're very welcome, Todd.
I'd like to start by talking about all the corn that's still in the bin and what farmers are thinking they will do and what you suggest they should do.
That's a good question. There is a lot of unsold grain, both on farm and in the elevator in DP or on basis contracts. And that July contract is coming into first delivery day, first part of next week. So farmers have a decision to make. Do they want to hang on and roll it one more time? pay another 3 months or a month's worth of DP charges if they're getting charges, or, you know, what are they going to do? And some people are selling. We've seen a little bit of pickup in selling, especially in some areas that got some rain over the weekend. They're rewarding the market. And, you know, beans have been up 4 weeks in a row. Corn's been up three of those 4 weeks. And so it hasn't been a big gain, but it has been a little gain in corn. And so they are rewarding the market and just choosing not to hold on to it. But I'd say over half of the farmers are still hanging on and probably will continue to hang on. There's some areas from here on east that are on the dry side, and I think they're going to wait and see at least through pollination through the middle of the month of July, and then if everything still looks good, then we may see a little another round of selling. But until then, it kind of feels like they're going to probably hold on and see if we can get a little bit of either fund short covering or some kind of a weather premium built into the market. They're hoping to get a little bounce here in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
No, I know we'll know a lot more next week once the grain stocks and the acreage figures actually come out. But as of today, what do the fundamentals tell you about supply of grain in the United States in total, and what that means in particular for old crop? Because it really is looking forward into those new crop numbers at this point and tallying up what's left from last year's crop, too.
Yes. Yeah, we are seeing ethanol plants start back up again. So we're starting to see a pickup in demand, we're also starting to see basis levels pick up here in central Illinois. Again, that part of that's the crop may not be the greatest that we've seen in past years. Part of it is farmers are just unwilling to sell. Part of it is with the ethanol business starting back up again, there's a little bit more demand. So I would say there's the fundamentals have factored in a pretty big carryout, and I think we could probably shave a couple hundred million bushels off of that. But that still leaves us with a tremendously big carryout compared to normal years. So I want to say that I'm friendly corn for the next 2 to 3 weeks, but emphasis on a small rally and not a big rally.
Has feed usage been good, and what do you think of those numbers that came out from USDA on the cattle on feed last Friday?
Yeah, feed usage numbers are okay. We'd like to see that get better. Same with the cattle on feed numbers. But I think we're starting to see the slaughterhouses start to pick up efficiency a little bit. They're getting back up to 80-90%. It's not 100% by any stretch, but it's getting better than what it was. And so that will definitely help. But the biggest thing is I think we have to get people, you know, getting back to work and driving and using gasoline so we can blend 10% ethanol. That and livestock usage is our biggest uses of corn. Exports are a distant third. So really, we've got to get the economy back up and going and continue to feed those animals.
I suppose that means you're watching the COVID-19 spread and spikes non-spikes, depending on where they happen to be taking place at this time.
Yeah, that's a little concerning that we've seen spikes back up in some of the states where I think people may be vacationing, or, you know, Florida, Texas, Arizona, those three states. California is a fourth state. So you know, I don't know if that's just a coincidence, but those are definitely tourist destination spots. And you hate to see that. And hopefully things will calm down here soon. But that's certainly a big unknown.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
That is Greg Johnson. He is with the Andersons. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.